On this Trinity Sunday, we think about and celebrate God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. I want to avoid a scripture sweep lecture approach to try to define the Trinity. I also want to avoid conundrums like 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Trinity is anything but a lifeless doctrine. I simply prefer that we concentrate on one passage from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 8 to 21, which seems rich in the Trinity of God for our learning, our worship, and thanksgiving. That our faith and trust in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will enable us to live out what we say in the words of the Creed on Sundays. I know it's corny, but I like the story of the young boy sitting at the kitchen table, pencil in hand, deep in concentration. The conversation with his father went something like this. What are you drawing? I'm drawing a picture of God. No one knows what God is like. Well, they will when I've drawn the picture. To see and to know God, whether you believe there is a God or not, seems a basic human response and need, especially in days of uncertainty, the kind that COVID has brought. Jesus has drawn the picture of God for us, and what's more, it's complete in every detail. Paul, writing to the Christians in Colossae, described Jesus as the image of the invisible God. Chapter 1, verse 15. So let's turn to today's Bible reading, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 8 to 21. I have two broad headings for us. Verses 8 to 15, Jesus reveals the Father, and verses 16 to 21, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. So firstly then, verses 8 to 15, Jesus reveals the Father. The backdrop for our Bible reading from John's Gospel is what we call the Last Supper, and the theologians call it Jesus' farewell discourse. Jesus has much he wants his disciples to understand as the events of the cross were closing in and anxiety amongst the disciples was building. Up till now, they had often struggled to understand and had often got the wrong end of the stick when Jesus was teaching them. But as Jesus returns to his Father's side after the resurrection appearances, he will no longer be with them in physical presence. But his Spirit is going to be not only his continuing presence with them, but actually in them, guiding them into the fullness of truth, which will be at the very heart of the early church community. A kind of unfolding experience that is truth of the apostles' teaching being worked out in the changes and chances of daily life, just as we do. I've got one or two other headings as well to help us as we go through these sections. So my first heading is seeing and knowing, verses 8 to 10. Philip perhaps spoke for many of the disciples when he said, Lord, show us the Father, that'll be enough for us. Maybe they found it hard to really understand when he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus here is direct with Philip, and you can hear Jesus' disappointment and frustration. What amounts to how many more times? Leslie and I often have to ask our ballroom dancing instructor, can you show us that again? Philip really wants to understand, and Jesus knows his heart, and the simple explanation is of great benefit to him and to us too. Verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus was saying all the wonderful words and actions, the things I have said and done, were reflections, were mirror images of his Father's heart. Quite simply, the Father lives in me, Jesus said. Jesus spoke of forgiveness. This was on the Father's heart. When Jesus healed the sick, this was on the Father's heart. Jesus gave them and us a prayer to which starts, "Our Father in Heaven." And Paul puts it succinctly in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6. "For God who said, let light shine out in the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So, verses 8 to 10, seeing and knowing. Now, verses 11 and 12. Believing and doing. Believing and doing. Belief in the Christian life is never an abstract concept, but an action. An amplified version of verse 11 might read, "Trust me, I am in God and God is in me." If that seems too much, then have faith in what you have seen me do as a result of my obedience to God. Earlier in his gospel, John says, the only Son who is at the Father's side has made him known. So for us, it means trusting Jesus' words and actions, demonstrating the character of God, then behaving in a manner that reveals this truth. Verse 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus was about to leave them, but he was not disbanding them. Quite the opposite. They were to continue his work and do even greater things, inasmuch as they and the believers that followed, and remember 3,000 new believers on the day of Pentecost alone, would go out into the whole world to bring the kingdom of Jesus wherever they went. The book of Acts is a record of this work, the work of the early church, which inspires us to carry on this vital work. So we have seeing and knowing, and believing and doing. And now verses 13 and 14, asking and receiving. Asking and receiving. When we pray, we ask in Jesus' name, in accordance with verse 13, to the glory of the Father through the Son. We ask not as a talisman for entry into a supernatural world to obtain life's luxuries, as tempting as that might be at times, but as a source of enabling to the disciples and to us of Jesus carrying out the Father's will. Jesus makes a vital link between the disciples' love for him and their obedience to him, verse 15. In the Gospel of John, love for Jesus and obedience to him is a recurring theme. In the church community, to love one another demonstrates our love for the Father and the Son. The disciples knew that left to their own devices, they were unable to carry out God's work, and so he promises a helper to come alongside. When we ask in Jesus' name, we can be sure that our safeguard is that our petition will only be answered in accordance with God's character, his purpose, and his word. Sometimes when we pray, we feel we can't be sure that what we are asking is his will. But we simply ask in faith, and God responds, and the outcome sometimes will be unexpected, but will always be right and for good purposes. We should therefore be able to come with confidence to the throne of grace, as the writer to the Hebrews declared, chapter 4 and verse 16. And so, asking and receiving. Now let's have a look at verses 16 to 21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. And first of all, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit of Truth. In the Greek of the New Testament, the Spirit of Truth is called Paraclete, someone who comes alongside, another of the same Jesus. In substance and essence, God in the way Jesus is. The Latin word translates as advocate, and that's a courtroom scene. the one who intercedes with the Father, speaks up for the disciples. He is sometimes referred to as another counselor. In all these, he is the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit as truth is another major thread in John's Gospel. Earlier in his Gospel, John records Jesus saying, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So freedom for them and for us comes in the closeness of knowing God, in relationship with him through Jesus. For the Christian, knowing God has to be on his terms and not ours. Knowing God can never be reduced to a code of living or simply a good way of life. Many people try this, and the church has often colluded with this, but it leaves an aching void in the heart, never sure whether we are loved and accepted by God, always victim to the feelings of guilt and failure. And no one need live like this, unless, of course, they choose to. The truth in the Gospel is 100% reliable and unchangeable. The substance and persons of God and the revelation and reminder to the apostles of Jesus' teaching means his word is final and fixed. For this, as for every age that has gone before or follows. You may recall last week in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we read of the new converts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And if we are wise, so should we. You see, the Spirit of truth has nothing new to add to what has already been said. Verses 16 and 17, the Spirit of truth. Now verses 18 and 19, never alone. What a wonderful promise Jesus gives his disciples here. I will not leave you as orphans, bereft, abandoned, unloved, unnoticed, and totally without the support you need. Because Jesus will come to them by the Holy Spirit. He will be their supporter. With the resurrection appearances, Jesus' followers knew he was alive, and because he was alive, his promise is that they would live too. And for the world, well, they had seen him and heard him, and now he was leaving, and they were literally alone. No more public manifestation for them. And verses 20 and 21, as I finish now. This Trinity of love. So on this Trinity Sunday, it's good to remind ourselves that everything God the Father has and is comes to Jesus, his Son. And everything Jesus has and is comes to us by the Holy Spirit of truth. And verse 21 endorses verse 15, so the emphasis must be of the utmost importance. Love drives the Trinity of God, and the great benefits of believing through obedience to the apostles' teaching are there for the asking this very morning. Let me leave you with a simple proposition for Trinity Sunday that has helped me over the years. If I didn't believe in God the Father as creator and sustainer of life, who would I have to thank for the beautiful world I wake up to each morning? If I didn't believe in God the Son as Saviour, how could I ever be sure that the sins that trouble my conscience and separate me from a holy God would be forgiven and forgotten? Jesus' death on the cross, taking the punishment I deserve, made this possible. And if I didn't believe in God the Holy Spirit, how would I know Christ in my inmost being if I wasn't born again of his Spirit and he was resident in me, giving me the power to live for him each day. So let's finish with a prayer. You are indeed our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Help us this day and in the days to come to live in faith in our God, to live in obedience to God the Son, and to live in the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, today and always. For Jesus' kingdom's sake, we ask. Amen.